portions of the following program may be pre-recorded. It's time now for the Drive Home with Brian Bales on WAVA. From the WAVA-FM Passport Auto Group Studios, today's Drive Home is made possible by our good friends at Passport Automotive Group, an outstanding group of dealerships throughout the DMV, including BMW, Infiniti, Mazda, Mini Cooper, Nissan, and Toyota. As well, they have a state-of-the-art collision center, all which are ready right now to serve your auto needs. So if you're considering the purchase of a new or certified pre-owned vehicle, Passport stands ready to meet those needs right now. You can find out more by going to PassportAuto.com. That's PassportAuto.com. And now here's Pastor Brian Bales for your driving pleasure on WAVA.
Well, hello, everyone, and thanks again for joining me here as we continue, as always, to talk about the things that really matter. In fact, to talk about the things that matter most. The things that matter most are the things of the gospel, the things that make a way in our life. It's not uncommon here on the show that you find me quoting a section of scripture. Of course, that should make sense. You're listening to WAVA, and we are all about scripture and all about Jesus here at WAVA. But one scripture that you might be familiar with is one that's known as the Great Commission that Jesus gave to his disciples, but not just the 12, all of us, to go into all the world and to be making disciples. But one of the unique things about the Washington metro area is that going into all the world is often a lot easier than we think, because many times the world comes to us. How do we connect with them? How do we talk with them? How do we reach them? And my guest right now is Pastor Jose Lopez, evangelist and founder of Santo Outreach Ministries. He is an evangelist in that way, which sponsors an annual event called Freedom Fest DC. You can find out more about it by going to www.freedomfestdc.com. It's an annual event down on the National Mall held on the 4th of July. And in it, we share the gospel message of Christ with thousands of people who are at the same time celebrating our nation's independence. So it's once again good to talk to you, Pastor Lopez. It's been a bit, but thank you for being on the show.
Brian, thank you for having me. What a blessing it is to be with you at this moment.
Now, I always enjoy getting to know people's background a little bit, and there's a very particular story that you have of why you found from where you were originally born to why you've made your way to the U.S. and what God is doing in your life. Share that with our listeners, if you would.
Sure. I'm originally born and raised until teenager in Nicaragua, Central America, which is bordered north with Honduras and south with Costa Rica. I was born there during the war time, civil war. So the communists, Sandinistas, of course, came into power in 78, I remember. And then, of course, there was people against them, didn't believe what they believe, the socialist agenda, and I didn't either. So basically, in order to, if you want to leave the country, you were basically forced to serve in the military service to get a passport to leave that nation. I served, but at the same time as I was serving, I was incarcerated because one of the major lieutenant, said that I was deserting. And they put me in jail because I didn't want to believe in the regimen and that system. And they were trying to send me to the front line to get killed. During that time, as the war was going on, it estimated that between 250,000 young people died in both sides against the Sandinistas and the Sandinistas. So I serve, thanks to God and my mom, they put a lawyer, a military lawyer. They took me out of jail. I finished my service. And I got my passport, and in 1989, I left that nation and say goodbye to that nation because communism is still in that system right now. And it's sad because right now even there's religious persecution by the Sandinistas, and they're incarcerating pastors and even priests. That's mm-hmm. what's going on in that nation.
Yeah, and for those unfamiliar with what has been happening in Nicaragua, it is in many ways a flashback to what happened when you left many, many years ago, happening right now. Now, that's your for lack of better terms, immigration journey. Tell the listeners a little bit about your salvation journey, about how God brought you from where you were to coming to know him in faith to eventually now how you became an evangelist, because you are actively living out day in and day out what it means to share the truth of the gospel to go into all the world.
Sure. I just want to read first Genesis chapter 6, verse 15, which it says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually." So basically, as I read this verse, and since the beginning of my creation, I was created in sin, and I was born in sin, and there's always been wickedness and evil desire and rebellion against God. Around 1997, I was attending to a seminar in the state of Georgia, and somebody invited me to attend to a non-denominational service on a Sunday morning. Then I was raised Roman Catholic, but I didn't practice. I was just a cultural Roman Catholic. So I went to that service. I heard the pastor share the word of God, and then I had this experience, this emotional thing in my life. The pastor said, "If you want to receive Jesus, come to the front." I went to the front, and I had an emotional feeling in my heart. I had that, as you say, the ooey-gooey experience.
Yeah, the ooey-gooey. Somebody... I think we know it. Yeah, that's a great way to describe it.
So, yeah, somebody prayed with me, and basically that was it. They took my information, supposedly to follow up with me, but that never actually happened. Later that Sunday afternoon, I flew back to Maryland, and then what happened? Was I changed? No, I wasn't truly born again. Why? Because I just went back to my life, basically. I was not transformed. I had an experience, of course, but I was a person that just continued to live the evil life that I was living. I didn't care about God. I didn't care about his word, or I didn't care about sin, and I didn't care about being in fellowship with him, obeying him, or following him. Nothing, really. A couple of years went by later, and I went to a funeral, and I heard the pastor talking about the afterlife, and it really made me start thinking, and I was feeling a little bit convicted about it. I asked myself, what will happen to me if I die today? And to be honest with you, I was really scared. But did I respond there? No, of course not. Because I was enjoying sin. I was hating the things of God. I was not paying attention to him. I was not responding to him. I then told my wife that we need to start looking and searching for God as if God was lost. But the reality, the one that was lost, it was me. Then in 2001, I went to a church where I heard the gospel again, and God convicted me there, and I truly responded to God. And as he says in Ezekiel 36, 20, verse 26 and 27, says, "Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put you my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances."
I love that verse from Ezekiel. Yeah. It's one of my favorites in the book. So what I love about this story is that even that, number one, it shows the power of God. Number two, as well, is that even though earthly people may forget to follow up, God still follows up. He pursues, he pursues, he pursues. And sometimes in our life, we may be a little bit slower in responding than maybe God's hopefully wished that we would. But nevertheless, you did respond. And so a lot of your life now is about calling people in that same way to respond. You have a particular ministry called Santo Outreach Ministry. What is that, and how did that get started?
Yeah, well, basically, this is what happened. I started serving in the children ministry at the church where I was attending. I didn't know what my gift was at that time, but I understood that I need to serve God in any capacity. A person that I was serving with kept inviting me to go to the street to share the gospel, And my response was that is not my gift, and calling. For a few months, every weekend, she was telling me to go out and share the good news. And my answer most of the time was, it is not my calling and responsibility. I'm not an evangelist or preacher. I respond to her because I was just starting to read the Word of God, and I didn't have the knowledge and understanding what God says about being a minister of the gospel. So basically, as you asked me how the ministry started, I learned in the fall in 2001, during that time, God was working in my path and directing me to serve him in this area of evangelism. In the book of Judges, as I remember in verse 6, 17, Gideon wanted a sign from God like Moses in Exodus 33 also. And in the same chapter 6, verses 36 and 40, Gideon asked for the sign of the flea, as you remember.
Yes.
So basically, like Gideon, I asked God for a sign and confirmation from God, and he gave it to me. I was not really testing God, but I want to make sure that this was from him and not from me. After that, I start going to the streets to share the good news with everyone that basically that has a pulse in breathing. I start encouraging other brothers and sisters to come out and share the gospel. And I continue to study the Word of God and to self-teach myself, studying, reading different style of evangelism, learning about different religions and cults, and learning and studying apologetics, trying to connect with other churches and brothers and sisters to do the same. So during that time, it was in 2003, actually, is when I learned about the event, which you mentioned, Freedom Fest DC. So that's the way that basically how, per se, that the ministry started. My first
yes.
time, it was in 2003 when I participated, but the event itself is starting in 1985. During that time, of course, we didn't have the ministry incorporated or started. But the person that was in charge of the event acknowledged my gift of evangelism and invited me to be part of the leadership team the following year. My wife and I prayed about it, and I was in the leadership team. The following year, I continued to go out to the streets and colleges, universities, sharing the gospel. And around 2005, the leader of the Freedom Fest asked me if I would be willing to take over the reins of the event, and I told him I didn't sign up for this.
Well, that's the great thing about this story, and often the stories that we do hear on the show, is that God doesn't always call the equipped. He equips the called, and it sets us on a journey. And that's exactly certainly what I hear happening in your life. Now, don't go anywhere, though, listeners, and I just want you to stay with us. We'll be back after the break. We're talking with Jose Lopez about Freedom Fest DC and God's call in his life, and how you, when you get back the break, yourself can get involved. Here on The Drive Home, Brian Bales.
Several years ago, I attended a wedding ceremony in a beautiful garden setting and came away with some thoughts on child rearing.
Here's Dr. James Dobson with Family Talk.
My thoughts drifted on that day after the minister had instructed the groom to kiss the bride, and approximately 150 colorful helium-filled balloons were released into the blue California sky. Within a few seconds, the balloons were scattered across the heavens, some rising hundreds of feet overhead and others cruising toward the horizon. A few balloons struggled to clear the upper branches of the trees, while the show-offs became mere pinpoints of color on their journey to the sky. How interesting, I thought, and how symbolic of children. Let's face it, some boys and girls seem to be born with more helium than others. They catch all the right breezes, and they soar effortlessly to the heights. Others wobble dangerously close to the trees. Their frantic folks run along underneath, huffing and puffing to keep them airborne. It is an exhausting experience. I want to offer a word of encouragement specifically to the parents of those low-flying kids. Sometimes the child who has the greatest trouble getting off the ground eventually soars to the highest heights. That's why I urge you as parents not to look too quickly for the person your child will become.
To get involved, go to drjamesdobson.org.
Larry Hogan wants to go to Washington, but whose side is he on? We don't have to guess.
I've been probably the strongest Trump critic in the Republican Party from the time he came down the escalator.
Sleazy attacks on President Trump, emboldening Biden and the Democrats running our country into the ground.
I've committed to not supporting Donald Trump.
Crime on the rise and a wide open southern border. Larry Hogan's priority?
I'm doing everything I possibly can to stop Donald Trump.
Backstabbing conservatives. Another American last liberal. That's Larry Hogan. Wrong for Republicans. The conservative choice? Robin Ficker. Stand with Trump. Secure the border. Robin Ficker will fight for our values and put America first. On May 14th, vote for the Trump-Ficker conservative ticket.
I'm Robin Ficker, candidate for the United States Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Robin Ficker for U.S. Senate.
Welcome to Odyssey, where fantasy takes flight and adventure is always waiting just around the corner. It all begins at a place called Wit's End, a remarkable old mansion that has been converted into a combination ice cream parlor, Inventor's Emporium, by its founder and namesake John Avery Whittaker. And if Wit isn't serving up a soda, you can usually find him in the back tinkering on his latest invention with his brainy assistant Eugene. Focus on the families. Adventures in Odyssey.
Weeknights at 8 p.m. on WAVA.
105.1 FM, WAVA.
And I'm having a conversation here in the drive home with Pastor Jose Lopez, who's talking to us about Freedom Fest DC. And you can find out more about Freedom Fest DC by going to freedomfestdc.com. So let's talk about Freedom Fest, if we can, Jose, for a little bit. For those people who don't know what Freedom Fest DC is, why don't you clue them in a little bit? Again, it's been around for a very long time, but there's lots of things that I would say are somewhat institutions here in the Washington metro area that many people are still learning about.
Yeah, basically, as I mentioned, I got involved in 2003, but the event started in 1985. But a group from Wywand and from Texas and different, as I mentioned, different churches and ministries and leaders kind of handle the event. I'm the fourth person that is involved. And the purpose of the event is, of course, to share the gospel. As you mentioned, the world come to us, and especially on the 4th of July, the Independence Day, we have people from the nation locally, but every year, people from all over the world come. I always had the tendency to ask the national park police how many people show up. And the lowest number that I've been hearing sometimes they show up is maybe 500,000 people to come and see the fireworks in the National Mall. So basically the people is right there. The lost people is right there. And the goal is to the verses that we use, of course, is in John 17, 20, 23, when we talk about right there the unity, you know, as Jesus being one with the Father, he wants us to be one. And we see that the encouragement and exhorted through the New Testament, we see it in Philippians 2, 2, we see it in Romans 15, 5, 1 Corinthians 1, 10. 2 Corinthians 13, 11, and 13, we see that God is calling us to be united as one body, one mind, maintaining the same love and unity and spirit for the gospel to basically make his name known. And so that's what we're trying to encourage the churches locally and churches that come from the nation to from California and different states. To come and be part of the event.
I want to follow up with that event per se. So talk about some of the specific aspects of that event. Certainly people are sharing their faith. Is this happening more in a one-on-one as you're integrating and connecting with people as they make their way down in the mall? or is this in a particular area of the mall where people have the opportunity to maybe hear worship music, hear a sermon? What does that look like? Paint a picture for us, if you would.
Yes. This year, the event is going to be located between the Natural History Museum and the Smithsonian Castle. So basically, we put a stage in the center of the walkway, and then alongside, we put tents. We have water tents. We have prayer tents. We have kids ministry tents, face painting, and we have a light sports that happen during that time. And basically, from the stage, we have, yes, different from different churches, groups that come and do worship or some kind of style of worship to the Lord. And I usually give an opportunity to a pastor or an evangelist to preach for 15 minutes to the mass. We raise like 14 feet high, the speakers, and people can hear it all over the mall. But the action happening in reality is the one-on-one interaction conversation with the local people that are just passing by or standing by there. But the gospel is preached from 11 a.m. until 9 p.m. in the evening. We do that every 4th of July.
That's amazing. Now, when I think about something like that, I prepare a picture in my own head. Certainly, I imagine our listeners are doing the same thing. What are some of the needs wherein that you have to accomplish and pull off something like that, not only where it is located, when it's located, but also for as long as you are having this opportunity to share the truth about who Jesus is down there in the mall?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. Yeah, the first thing that we ask everyone, and especially the listeners right now, prayers. We need to be covered up in prayers. I myself and my wife, we cannot do this without the power of the Holy Spirit, and my own weakness is impossible. Prayer is very important. That's the first thing. Second of all, we ask for brothers and sisters to come to share the gospel alongside another brother, another sister, that we can interact. And if they haven't done it, we can teach them how to say hello to people. It's not as scary as many brothers and sisters think. And lastly, of course, we ask for financial support. Basically, we need to raise $20,000 for just in stage and tent. It's going to be $11,200. So far, we've been raised $4,190.61. People can send the support. They can find the information, as you mentioned, the freedomfestdc.com, the website, and they can click in donations. Or they can go to givensendandgo.com and search for Freedom Fest DC. Have to be Freedom Fest DC. And if someone wants to just send a check by mail, they can send it to Santo Outreach Ministry, and the P.O. Box is 86842 Montgomery Village, Maryland, 20886. And all donations are tax deductible.
Right. I want to go back to that website again. Was that giveandsendandgo.com? Is that what you shared?
Yes, givesendgo.com. And they search for Freedom Fest DC.
Wonderful.
But also in our website, freedomfestdc.com, they can go there and go to the menu bar and click on donations.
Right. One of the things you just mentioned were some of the opportunities. Obviously, financially, not everyone will be in town over that or can find their way into the National Mall, and their concern isn't sharing their faith. There's just, if you've ever been down to the National Mall, it's a challenge in and of itself on any day, but July 4th is an extra challenge. But they decide, hey, I feel called to do your website. Is there particular roles it'll tell you about to sign up there? Can you sign up to come down certain times? How does that work if someone says, I want to come down and be a part physically?
Yeah, we are going to have on one side, we're going to have the tent for volunteers. And basically, when they come, they can come and we can see and help them to see which tent they would like to serve, if they want to serve with the prayer tent. Or like I said, we give free water to people. Mm-hmm. And by giving free water, we want to interact with them and share the reason why we're giving them the free water. And also, if they want to help us, and we have around the stage, people can work in security also to help us to keep watching over that area. And as I mentioned, like sport, we have like a soccer ball that it has the color, like the color beads, and usually people yes. play a little bit sport there, and then they share the gospel. We have face painting.
Yeah. Oh, face painting as well? So, there's no need to sign up in advance. They can just show up at the time that they're there, enter a particular tent when they find it, say, hey, I'm here to help, and you'll find out best how to deploy them to make a difference at that moment. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes, exactly. So we're going to have a volunteer check-in tent, and we're going to have some volunteers there that are going to be kind of guiding them and helping them which of those tents they will be interested in serving. So, yeah, there is not an advanced registration. We just want to encourage everyone to just to come up, show up, and we will be able to help you to plug you in there. And just remember, right there, we're there to share the gospel. No matter what thing you're going to go and serve, it's just to share people that their need is Christ. And that's the purpose that we are there.
Yeah. It's such an amazing story you have about how God works along the way. And certainly for our listeners, I think there's a chance that they could be listening today and they could think something to themselves, well, I'm not qualified to do this. And the reminder is our qualification is the calling of Jesus on our life. Is he calling us down to be a part? And I know that certainly you have seen many, many lives changed over the years as you've reached them, not just at the mall, but certainly through the other things you do at Santo Outreach Ministry. So again, for our listeners today, if you would like to get involved, this is talking to Pastor Jose Lopez, evangelist and founder of Santo Outreach Ministry. Rather, we are talking to him, and he's been talking with us today about freedomfestdc.com. What's the location again down there on the mall? It's between the castle and which museum was that again?
Yeah, it's going to be between the Natural History Museum and the Smithsonian Castle.
Yeah, the Natural History Museum. And for those of you, if you're listening outside of the Washington metro area and you find yourself coming in and you don't know where that is, the good news is there are always maps to find it. Just look it up, as well as, of course, you can go to freedomfestdc.com. So before I let you go real quick in the last 30 seconds or so, if I can, Pastor Jose, would you just encourage someone to consider being a part?
Yeah, I just want to encourage every born-again believer that if they can go to the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 and 17, and read it and understand it, and that's what the Lord is calling us. You already a minister of the gospel. You don't need to be a gifted evangelist. You don't have to be a gifted preacher. You just need to be obedient to God's calling, as you mentioned at the beginning, the Great Commission. That's a command. It's not a suggestion.
Yeah. Boy, that sounds like a pretty good tagline. That's not a command. Rather, that's not a suggestion. That's a command. So thank you for that reminder. And of course, thanks for being with us again today and sharing your heart and sharing about the opportunity there in Freedom Fest DC happening down there on the National Mall on the 4th of July from 11 to 9. Find out more by going to freedomfestdc.com. And of course, if I said something today you would like to talk to us about, you can reach us in two different ways. You can send us a comment to the email here, to comment@wava.com, or of course you can call me at 703-729-3900 at Christian Fellowship Church in Ashburn, Virginia, and they will either directly send you to me or they'll give me your voicemail and I'll get back to you. But wherever you are today, consider the challenge that you have heard today from Pastor Jose to go into the world and to preach the gospel. And the world sometimes comes to you. Hey, thanks for listening right now. We'll be back after the break, picking up, having a conversation with Glenn Lutyens of Focus on the Family, talking about the impact of cell phones. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Rhett Rasmussen of BestHotGrill.com. We make the Solaire infrared grills, which are perfect for today's busy lifestyles. You're probably in your car right now, wondering what you'll have for dinner tonight. Imagine that when you get home, your Solaire infrared grill will be at 1,000 degrees in 3 minutes. That's right, just 3 minutes. The high heat locks in the juices and flavor and grills faster, so that in a matter of minutes, you could be sitting down to a great-tasting grill dinner any and every night of the week. Your smoker or low-slow barbecue is great for the weekend, but the hot, fast speed and convenience of Solaire infrared grills make them your everyday go-to grill. And they aren't just for searing steaks. Solaire infrared grills also enhance fish, chicken, pork, shrimp, veggies, and fruit. Virtually everything your family enjoys. Learn more at besthotgrill.com. That's besthotgrill.com. Solaire infrared at besthotgrill.com.
Now, faith is confident. May I tell you a little bit more? During a 5-6 year period, I couldn't explain all the crises that visited me. Crises with my loved ones. In that period, we're building, my health declined. Leaders left our church. Long term, friendships that lasted a decade went left. And here's the deal. None of this was really about me. This battle was raging over the souls you see at this altar every single week. And what I need you to know, that battle you're fighting may not be about you. It may be about that child you need to raise, or that family member you need to reach. Everything's not always about you. He's fighting you for a reason.
For more content like this, be sure to follow Grace Church VA TV on YouTube.com. That's Grace Church VA TV. And as always, live big.
If you need bold banners to boost your business, but you're on a budget, think Staples. Posters, flyers, signs, and menus for less? Think Staples. Staples can print anything you need to move your business forward. Now at Staples, save $50 on your print purchase of $150 or more. Same day service available on hundreds of items if you order by noon. And all backed by Staples' Print Perfect Guarantee. So it's done right or it's printed again free. Staples, your local print and marketing expert. N61, visit staples.com/print for details.
Are you ready for Mother's Day? Macy's Friends and Family is going on right now. It's the perfect time to save on the perfect gift for mom. With an extra 30% off designers that rarely go on sale when you use your coupon or Macy's card. And take 15% off makeup, fragrances, and more beauty favorites she'll love. Plus, get your Mother's Day gifts even faster when you pick up in-store or curbside. Today at Macy's. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
God's chosen ones aren't guaranteed problem-free lives, but His providence is trustworthy in every circumstance. As we follow King David's convoluted path to Israel's throne, we'll see how the Lord encourages, enables, and delivers those who seek refuge in Him. Join us this week on Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Weekdays at 3 a.m., 7:30 a.m., and 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time on Family Talk.
Here's your exclusive AccuWeather forecast from 105.1 FM WAVA.
Tonight will be partly cloudy and warm. Tonight's low 66. Tomorrow, very warm. Temperatures approaching near record highs with clouds and sun. A late afternoon thunderstorm possible, high 89. Wednesday, not as warm with partly sunny skies. We'll see a couple of morning showers followed by an afternoon thunderstorm Wednesday. We'll reach a high of 80. Download the AccuWeather app and check AccuWeather.com often. With the AccuWeather forecast, I'm Drew Shannon.
105.1 FM, WAVA.
And it's Monday, and this is The Drive Home, which means you have me, Brian Bales, for your drive or wherever you might be listening here to WAVA. We've been having a great conversation with several of our guests, but I've really been looking forward to the conversation we're going to have now up until the end of the hour with Glenn. I'm going to try to say your last name appropriately. Is it Lachins? Did I say it right?
It's Lachins.
Lutyens. Well, you would have loved the chat that's going back forth on my computer between me and my producer, Julie, trying to figure out how she was trying to tell me how to pronounce that. So thank you for the grace in that.
You're welcome.
You know,
no problem.
I'm excited about what you're going to talk about, cell phones. My wife is a high school teacher. She's been one for many, many years. And just recently, they had Spirit Week. And one of the things that they did was they had their students dress up like teachers. And then they had their teachers dress up like students for the day. And she brought the pictures home. And in every single picture of a teacher, the teacher dressed a particular way, but then they had a cell phone in their hand staring at it. And I think that is in many ways representative of this very powerful computer that so many people carry in their hands that we don't fully grasp all the impact it's having. So thanks for helping us understand a little bit today. So help our listeners, for all of us have a phone, whether it's, you know, an iPhone or it's an Android or something like that. But I don't know that we all fully understand the impact it's having, especially as those who are very young.
Yeah, yeah. Well, social psychologist Jonathan Haidt wrote a book called The Anxious Generation. And he identified several aspects of as far as things that were negatively impacted. But one of the things he pointed out was the younger the age, the more likely those neuro connections that are supposed to be taking place are being negatively affected by social media, by smartphones. And it really goes to the youngest of ages. Obviously, as people get older, there's not as many neural connections, but young children, even teens, even as adults, we can be impacted by it. So it really affects all of us.
And now you've been doing this for like 23 years as a counselor there on Focus, and I'm sure you've seen a lot of things sort of come into the national consciousness and the effect that has on people. Have you seen anything, at least in your opinion, that is pervasive as the impact of phones and social media and the things that come with it? Because it just seems like it's everywhere.
It really is. And I remember hearing one psychologist comment, it's the biggest change since the Industrial Revolution. You know, when you think about it, 30 years ago, if there was an emergency, maybe you had a answering machine at home. But generally speaking, you know, there was no way to get the information. Now it's at our fingertips. And even when it comes to, you know, a question somebody has about something, you know, it's easy to just kind of pick up the smartphone and just ask the question. Not that necessarily the answer is always correct, but at least it gives a feeling of, you know, knowledge is right at our fingertips. We can figure everything out. And I think it gives a false sense of confidence in that in many cases.
Well, my wife and I have been married long enough that, you know, Google wasn't around when we first got married. And we jokingly said recently, what did we do before Google? And we said, well, we called our parents, like when right. we didn't know how to do something or do a recipe. And mm-hmm. so by very nature, some of the information that we have access to works against the idea of relationships. But certainly there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. And when we look at some of the statistics, like most every smartphone has a thing on it called screen time that you could go in and you can look how much time someone is spending, you know, on a screen. Like right now I have a timer on my phone just for our segment, so I know. And it's logging it as screen time. And when I look later on, it's going to tell me that I've spent 2.5 hours on my phone today. So some of that isn't necessarily accurate when it talks about usage. But when we look at the usage rates of the typical teenager, conservatively, what are we talking about here?
You know, I find it to be hard to imagine, but I've come across statistics that say 6 to 8 hours of non-educational screen time. So in other words, screen time where people need to be on computers for school, that type of thing is not included, but just kind of leisure time, 6 to 8. That seems a bit high to me, but nothing really surprises me much anymore.
Well, it seems to be even while we're multitasking, you know, even anymore. Right. I don't even know that if I sit down later and watch my favorite baseball team play a game, I discovered that I used to sit down and watch the game. Now I sit down and watch the game and I troll on my phone, right? I try to do a couple different things. And recently I've had to just in my own life be very like, why am I needing to do two things at once? It used to be enough to do this. And when we think about the idea that you mentioned about the anxious generation and this excessive screen time, talk about very specifically in the development of young people of how it compromises their success in the real world. What are some of the things that he identified that then we need to consider as parents, as guardians, as friends, as other people who care about young adults and care about our development as well to make a difference?
Right. Social deprivation is one of the elements that Jonathan Haidt identified, that people are much less inclined nowadays to spend that face-to-face time with friends. There was one study that looked at individuals ages 15 through 24. Back in about 2013, the average amount of FaceTime with friends, FaceTime not meaning Facebook time, but face-to-face sure. eye contact with friends was about 2 hours per day. In 2022, that was at 45 minutes. Now, certainly some of the impact of or in 2020, excuse me, not 2022, but 2020, that went down to about 45 minutes. Now, some of that we might say was probably COVID related, but there's just been that lessening of really coming alongside shared activities, face-to-face communication. Sometimes it's a whole lot easier to say something on, you know, when you're typing it out than it would be to say it face-to-face. So those neural connections are occurring that are making certain things more common, and the more face-to-face interactions, it lessens those.
You know, I've heard some information out there, and maybe you can help identify if that's accurate or not, that when it comes to cell phone usage, and for many cases, it is maybe not the technical term addictive, but in many ways, it does release dopamine hits, much like addictive yeah. behaviors can. Are you experiencing interactions with people that look at their phone, look at that connection much in the same way that we would say many times other people would look at, I don't know if the word more traditional addiction is an appropriate way to say it, but the ones mm-hmm. we might be more familiar with would?
Yeah, I think they are similar in some ways. Now, if we were to take a look at one of the maybe more traditional addictions of television and compare that to phones, with television, it's kind of one-way communication, just depending upon if a person's yelling at their television set or not. But with a cell phone, you know, it's communicating to you, you're communicating to it. It's kind of both ways that's taking place. And about 10% of individuals will get addicted to where it becomes pretty powerfully detrimental in their life. But I think you're right. There's still a greater number of people who are just simply following their emotional dictate. Mm-hmm. And it's real easy to do. You know, it's real easy to wake up in the morning and pick up the cell phone and, you know, try to listen to the latest news, sports, songs, whatever it might be, the Facebook hits that a person might receive. And it takes some discipline to say, you know, I'm not going to eliminate this per se, but I'm going to control it. I'm not going to let it control me. So that comes into play. Another aspect is just the area of attention fragmentation. On average, yes. there's about 182 notifications that take place for the average teenager per day. Wow. And that's a lot of interruptions. It's easy to be doing something and then a notification comes. Let's say a person is talking with someone face to face and they get a notification. It's real tempting to say, hey, wait a minute, I need to look at this. When do I really need to? Is it really that important? Is it an emergency where maybe I need to give it my attention? But
yeah, I'm feeling convicted right now because I've been there, done that, have the T-shirt.
Not pursue it is important.
Yeah, no, I was just saying I feel convicted myself. I find that same thing, putting it down, putting it away, no matter what I'm at. And so, folks, hopefully you're encouraged by what you're hearing. You've heard some of the challenges. When we get back from the break, before we get to the end of our time together here at The Drive Home, we're going to pick up with maybe just some strategies we can have to help us all as we navigate this world, especially with the impact the smartphones have us. We're talking here with Glenn Lutyens. Hopefully I said that right again, Glenn. Thanks for the grace here right. on The Drive Home. We'll be right back.
In the book Name Above All Names, seasoned pastors Alistair Begg and Sinclair Ferguson dive deep into the scriptures to unpack seven aspects of Jesus' incomparable character. Learn how he fulfills the roles of Son of Man, Conquering King, the Lamb upon the Throne, and the Great High Priest.
Download Name Above All Names as a free ebook today from Truth For Life at truthforlife.org/name.
Do you want certainty your home will sell without feeling stuck with two homes? Do you want the comfort of knowing your home is sold and you can move forward with the next step of your life? Wouldn't it be great if you can be guaranteed your home will sell without even having to list it and at the same time getting top dollar? This is Gregory Seltz of WAVA 105.1, and this is all possible through Debbie, Sarah, and Reynolds Empower Home Team with Keller Williams Sell With Certainty Program. My friends and realtors Debbie and Sarah will give you the satisfaction and comfort of a guaranteed home sale, knowing you didn't leave any money on the table. In the last 12 months, Debbie and Sarah have been able to help over 650 families sell their home, all while netting them $30,500 more on average. So call Debbie and Sarah Reynolds for a guaranteed home sale now. 844-881-SOLD. That's 844-881-SOLD. Or visit sellwithcertaintydmv.com. That's sellwithcertaintydmv.com to empower your home sale today.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency on earth, and if you owe back taxes, the news isn't good. The IRS is raising the interest rate it charges on unpaid taxes, and further rate hikes are expected. Most people don't know it, but the IRS adds interest charges to your tax debts daily. So if you owe the IRS today, you'll owe even more tomorrow. And it doesn't stop until you get right with the IRS. The good news is getting right can start with one phone call to Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax relief firm. Optima's tax professionals specialize in the Fresh Start Initiative, a powerful IRS program that can save you thousands if you qualify. In fact, the experts at Optima have resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients. Call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-965-1433. 800-965-1433. 800-965-1433.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
At Liberty University, you can expect to receive every resource you need for success. As an online student, you'll have access to academic support, digital textbooks that are provided for most undergraduate and divinity courses, and an online library available 24/7. Plus, Liberty University degrees hold industry-specific accreditations that you need to advance your education and career. Your goals are attainable, and we're ready to help. Visit luonline.com/enroll. Again, that's luonline.com/enroll.
105.1 FM, WAVA.
We're learning here as we make our way to the end of our drive home about how to help kids and help us as adults wise, how to manage our smartphones a little bit better. I'm having a conversation here with Glenn Lutyens of Focus on the Family. You can find out more about Focus and all the ministries they do by listening here at WAVA. Go to the program guide. You can see when they're on, as well as go to their website, focusonthefamily.com. And it'll give you all kinds of resources. And so before we went to the break, Glenn, we talked about what are some maybe some tips or some tools that we as people who care can put in our own life and then certainly the lives of kids that we have influence over.
I think one area, Brian, is just the importance of balance, because this area is, for parents, can be approached in two extreme ways. One is where, well, kids are going to look at whatever they are content-wise, or just even as far as how much time they're spending on social media, smartphones. So one end of the spectrum would just be, well, they're going to do what they're going to do, and, you know, too bad, but you know, that's it. I'm not going to set any boundaries. The other end of the spectrum is where parents will kind of come in with the dictates, the demands, no smartphones, and just kind of make that this unilateral thing, you know, up until the child's, you know, age 21 or something like that. And I think what the positive that can happen is, as parents recognize, and I certainly know it in my own life, I recognize the pull of some of the social media and just cell phone temptations that can be there. And so just being able to start a conversation, I mean, for me, the temptation is really just more being on it more than I need to. I mean, I like sports, and so I'll look at that. I like to listen to news. I like to listen to some theological discussions. But can I have some silence in my life? One of the things that our church recently has encouraged, we're having kind of a year of fast. And so every seventh week, they encourage us. It's not a demand. It's not something that we have to do, but they encourage us to just kind of unplug from some of the social media, smartphone capacities, and just spend some time with the Lord, time in solitude. And I think that can be a helpful thing. I think parents can talk about that with their kids as far as, okay, why don't we take a day and just set it aside. We're not going to use our phones. It's only basically for emergency purchases. What's that like for you? What does that feel like? And I think I notice for myself, it's just kind of like, well, I need something to fill that space where, you know, thought and prayer and contemplation, those are some really good things to fill that time and space with, but it's easy to not go there.
I think that's just a vivid reminder. How do we feel in the quiet anymore? I've just discovered in my own life, and maybe some of our listeners as well, just without even thinking, I reach for my phone. I reach for it. It's like it's the thing I will feel the dead time with. When it says, certainly we know as believers, we have Jesus' Spirit in us, and that is the ultimate way to fill everything. And I love the, also the prediction of balance. I do think that there are parents that go on one extreme or parents that go to the other. And I don't know if your experience is the same as mine. They often tend to be married to each other, you know, teeter-totters in that way, about helping to walk their kids through that. Are there other things in your experience as a counselor that you said, hey, this has been a very practical way to think about how do I help in this manner?
Well, let me just go back to what you just mentioned, Brian, because I think that's an important thing. A lot of times spouses will polarize. So one maybe is a little bit more towards, let's say, the lenient side. One's a little bit more towards strict. Over time, what can tend to happen is each one moves further apart because they're trying to counterbalance what they perceive to be the imbalance in the other parent. And so when that gets widened, now kids can kind of, you know, they can use that, you know, one parent against the other when that takes place. So I think that's a pretty common scenario. So parents can kind of get on that same page. I think an important aspect of that would just be a conversation between mom and dad to look at, okay, what do we want to do? What are some of the principles here when it comes to content? When do we want to decide that maybe cell phones get put away for the day? Because the fourth kind of common element, I mentioned we talked about the other three, but the fourth one would be that there's sleep deprivation that happens. And so sleep deprivation can have a powerful effect upon growth. I mean, when kids are, in puberty and as their body needs that greater amount of sleep, that can become problematic. So can a cell phone be charging after a certain time so that it's not a temptation for the child to, you know, just plug in, or usually they're not plugged in because they got enough juice in them, but can they, you know, turn on the cell phone and spend time looking at that? So if there can be some of those conversations that really can be meaningful, really relational conversations, as opposed to just kind of a dictate or a demand of you can do this or you can't do that. The more that we can have those come alongside and influence our kids, the more powerful it's going to be.
Well, the idea of coming alongside and influencing is so predominant, especially since we consider they have so many influences in their life that are not their parents. Certainly, you know, it's one thing where, for example, you ask your child to do this, but they can wake up in the morning. And I know that my 14-year-old's on a particular text string of a bunch of really, really good friends and puts the phone away, woke up one morning, and there were 130-some texts that just happened from a text string. Of, you know, it's 18 kids going back and forth, you know, and their text could be as simple as hi or whatever it might be.
Right.
But just, and you looked at the time that happened, and I wondered to myself, I know how off I am when I don't get sleep and I don't have a test the next day, or I don't have all of that. So certainly just the reminder of parents being the greatest influence. Before I let you go, resources there and Focus on the Family. Talk about this. You're there. Where would you point people?
Yeah, there are a couple. One would just be going to our website, focusonthefamily.com, and in the search field, just type in social media or cell phones. That'll give you several different resources, including some broadcasts. But as far as books, two of them come to mind. One is by Dr. Kathy Cook, and Cook is spelled K-O-C-H, so not the way we normally think of it. But Dr. Kathy Cook wrote the book Screens and Teens. That goes into a good amount of detail. Also, Jonathan McKee, M-C capital K-E-E, wrote a book, face-to-face connections in a screen-to-screen world. So that would be another important resource people can look into.
Well, we're big book people here in our family. My wife might even be listening online and already been ordering it on our local place that delivers to us every 2 days here at the house. So we all know who that is. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your time here. I appreciate your encouragement. Appreciate what you guys there do on Focus on the Family. And folks, I hope you've listened and you're taking notes and you're beginning to apply it in your life, as well as those recommendations to go to the website there, focusonthefamily.com, as well as those books there mentioned. Of course, if you didn't have a chance to write those books down, that's okay. You can always go to WAVA tomorrow. Catch this show on podcast. Go to the show, The Drive Home, click on the date, and all the information that you might have missed just a moment ago will be right there for you to listen again. And so as we began the show today, it was just our reminder that we're to live lives of hope, that we are people that Scripture calls us aliens as strangers. And some of the things that God asks us to do may seem a little strange, but nonetheless, they're worth it. And so my hope today is that you've been encouraged. You've been encouraged there from Glenn, and Glenn Lutyens has talked about how we can help with smartphones and kids. We've been talking, you know, Pastor Lopez and how we could get involved in Freedom Fest. Of course, we talked to Jim Supp of Rest in Bible, how we can learn to live from not just a place of happiness, but true joy. And as you go today, I hope that, again, you do what Don said so many years when he sat in this seat in this time slot, not just to get informed, but to get involved. Not just to hear information, but to be transformed by the truth of that information to go and to live it out. So wherever you are today, whether you're on the couch, on the drive home, or whether you're listening from your cubicle, I'm grateful you've been listening. I know I'll be back here on Friday to let you meet another pastor. But until such time that we meet again right here on the radio, I wish you Godspeed. And I remind you, as always, be a good neighbor. This has been The Drive Home here on 105.1 WAVA with Brian Bales.
Hey, this is Norm, Service Manager at A-Action Home Services. For all your electric, plumbing, and heating needs, call 703-922-1900 so you too can say, problem solved.
This is John MacArthur with another edition of Portraits of Grace. Do you realize that the same divine power that created, sustains, and controls the universe guards your salvation? That's right. You might not always sense God's power at work on your behalf, but it's there nonetheless. 1 Peter 1:5 says that you're protected by the power of God through faith in Christ. In that verse, protected means to keep or guard, and reflects Peter's confidence that salvation is secure, along with your faith. Jesus said that no one can snatch you out of the Father's hand, not even Satan himself. And Paul confidently added that nothing can separate you from God's love, nothing. Be assured, you're secure in Christ. This is John MacArthur, looking forward to bringing you more Portraits of Grace.
This is Pastor Dan Sexton of Calvary Chapel, Ellicott City. You've been listening to our daily Bible study, Ring of Truth, on WAVA. In the near future, Ring of Truth will no longer be heard at 2 p.m., so I want to invite you to tune in at our new broadcast time, 6:30 p.m. We're excited that Ring of Truth will be heard during the afternoon drive time here in the Washington and Baltimore area. So join us daily for Ring of Truth at 6:30 p.m. right here on WAVA.
Grace to You with John MacArthur is heard Monday through Friday at 9 on Life-Changing Talk Radio, WAVA.
Lives change here. You're listening to 105.1 FM, WAVA-FM, and HD1 Arlington. Life changing.